brazy, do the mumble like a crazy rhythm.
Welcome to another episode of the Italian Gamer Joe. Today is March 12th, Friday. It's 2021. The time is almost 11 o'clock p.m. here, Central Time. I know this is a really late podcast. I'm really excited to give you another episode of video game awesomeness this week. Last week's podcast, I did a top 25 of IGN's Nintendo Switch games. And I based my opinion entirely off the IGN article, and I got people asking me, well, Joe, what are your top 25 Switch games? So this week, I've decided that instead of doing a news week, I'm going to do a special of Italian Gamer Joe's top 25 Switch games currently available. And I'm going to go ahead and start. This is really exciting for me because I'm dating back to 2017. It's 2021. That's 4 years of Switch games that I've been playing. So I'm really excited to go down this list, and it's definitely in a particular order for a reason. But some of them on the list, I definitely had a struggle with putting on, like which order I put them in. So just because one's on the bottom of the list doesn't mean that it's not a good game. It's still a great game. Same goes for games that are on there at the top of the list. It definitely was a struggle, but overall, they're all great games. So I'm just going to go ahead and start. The 25th game on my list is ARMS. ARMS is a Nintendo Switch game that came out around the time that Nintendo Switch was first coming out back in 2017-ish. And it's a fighting game where you are like kind of like in a shoulder view perspective, and you have these two, you have a character that has these retractable arms. And if you press the A button, I believe it's the right arm, and then B is left arm, and then you can jump, and you can spin, and you can defend yourself, and there's just so much you can do in that game. And the game doesn't really have like a story mode per se. It has a campaign mode where you go from mission to mission to mission to mission, and each mission is an event, basically. I think of it as like a Grand Prix in Mario Kart, and when you complete all the Grand Prix mission events, you'll get to a final like championship, and the championship involves facing off against the leader, the champion of the arms fighters. And if you defeat him, then you get the crown. And then getting the crown unlocks special character concept art. You'll also get like in-game currency that you can spend on additional story panels that you can unlock that reveal more about the story of the game and the lore. So that's what ARMS is pretty much. What makes ARMS such a great game, though, for the Switch, is that it was one of the first Switch games that introduced very cool online play. You had these online arenas that you'd go into that featured like tons of players. I think it might be 8. And what made it so effective was that it was very much an online game. The game is still online. It still supports online. You can join an ARMS Discord community. You can join many different ARMS communities out there. And you can join up with them, jump into their groups, and play together. There's people out there that still play this game like crazy, and they do their own rule sets, and they do their own like situation. I mean, this game is still to this day very, very, very relevant and very popular. If you're looking for a community to get yourself into on the Switch that's still very popular today, and you're looking for like Discord communities, ARMS is the way to go. And it's not just the online is still active, and the single player mode is still very relevant. It's still a lot of fun. If you are looking for a great Switch game, I highly recommend ARMS. And another reason why you should get ARMS is because in Super Smash Bros. Brawl, Min Min from ARMS got thrown into there. So if you're wondering where Min Min came from, she came from ARMS. I really hope Nintendo does eventually release an ARMS sequel. It's a great game. Love ARMS. It's a great Switch game. And if you're looking for something to play, if you're looking for an online community that's still very active and relevant, the ARMS community is very great, very nice people. They're all awesome communities. Number 24 on the list is Clubhouse Games 51. This game came out, I want to say, a year ago, and it was really fun when it came out. The game introduced 51 games going from like baseball, cards, darts, to more cards, and even like some games that Nintendo, like more old school Nintendo games that are like card games and stuff. What made the game really effective though is that it basically came out during a time during the pandemic over a year ago, and this is one of those online games that you could play, and you can get up a game, you can set up a game online, hang out with friends, you could all like, you could talk while you're playing on a Discord chat or something, and it was very effective for what it was. And one of the reasons why I personally loved Clubhouse games is because it teaches you how to play games you maybe not would not consider playing. Each segment of the game even has a tutorial section where it'll teach you a little bit more. The game is even fun to play if you're passing a controller along with family. The game has full touchscreen support. So Clubhouse Games is one of those games that it's one of those games that you can have on your Switch casually and just pull it out and have some fun, do some tabletop action with it. So overall, it's a great game. I wish it had more online play and more in terms of like a campaign or something online or like a ranking system. But overall, it's a fun game and it's great to play either single player, play with another person, or like play with another person, like as far as like having them download the game. Overall, it's a lot of fun. Number 23 on the list is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. This game came out around the time the Switch came out, and it's really fun. It's basically the Wii U version of the game, but all the characters are unlocked. All of the carts are, well, the carts are still locked, but all the courses are unlocked. So there's basically the whole game unlocked. And then they also introduced like the cops and robbers mode in multiplayer online piece segment. The game is still very relevant today. The online is still very relevant. And they also introduced a Splatoon battle area. The game is a lot of fun. And for the Switch, it definitely was a selling point. I mean, if you look at bundles today, the number one bundle game that you get with Mario with the Switch is Mario Kart. It's a very, very great game. It's very casual and it's a blast to play. Number 22 on the list is Jackbox Party Pack. I'm not specifying any specific Jackbox Party Pack game. In this situation, I'm going to just say any of them. Any of the Jackbox Party Pack games are a blast to play. If you have friends online, if you have family that you live with or family that can come over and spend time with you, or if you're social distancing and you're trying to figure out what game to play, I recommend Jackbox Party Pack. Have someone stream on Discord or on a Zoom call and just jump right in and play together. It's a very fun game. All you need to use is your phone as a controller, and you have to go to your web browser and type in a room code, and then you're good to go. The games range from trivia to putting in an opinion, and then people have to like guess which one they like the most. It's such a fun game, and there are so many positive experiences that I've had with Jackbox Party Pack. Number 21 is Use Your Words. Use Your Words is one of my favorite party games on the Switch, and it's actually on every console, but I particularly use it on the Switch with my family. It's one of my favorite games of all time. I've played it so many times. It's been around for a while now. Some of my most fondest memories are playing that game with my parents, my brother, at the time, my partner. It's one of those games where we just laugh our asses off. It's so much fun. Use Your Words has three modes. The first mode is the, it's like a drive-in movie theater, and they'll show you a clip that needs a subtitle. And the clip is not in English, so it's in a different language. And then what'll happen is that it'll say like a sentence, and you have to finish the sentence with what you think the person said, but you can say it with anything you want. It could be something stupid, silly, like just overtly crazy. It could be whatever you want. That's the first mode. The second mode of the game is the picture mode, where it'll show like a newspaper headline, and you have to write what the headline should be. So it'll give you a picture and you have to write the headline. And then the final third mode is the fill in the blank mode. So it'll give you a sentence and you have to fill in the blank. And then basically what you do is you vote on which ones are your favorite, but you don't know who wrote what. So you're voting on ones you're always voting on your favorite ones. And then one of the answers in the list is always a fake answer, so you can accidentally vote the wrong one. Overall, very, very fun game. It's one of my favorite party Switch games, and similar to Jackbox, you go on a website, you enter a room code, you're good to go. It's definitely, if there's any game on this list you should check out, it's Use Your Words. Number 20 is Bayonetta. I mean, this game speaks for itself. It's a witch game. It's an action game. It's a fighting game. It's from the developers that did Nier Automata. It's one of those games that just is a blast to play. It's fully voice acted. Bayonetta is one amazing game character, and the story is just out of this world. it weaves a tale of a character that has no idea where she comes from. She struggles with this internal struggle about who she is, who her parents are. It's a very great game. Number 19, I have Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu. This game is a remake of the original Pokemon Pikachu. And I think what made it great for me is that I had Pokemon Blue growing up. I never had Pikachu. And for me, it was fun getting the opportunity to go back in time and play this game and finally finish it. And I remember when I finally beat the game, I cried my eyes out when Professor Oak was it would told me I was the Pokemon champion. And then I felt like my 8-year-old me, like decided to sell Pokemon Blue at GameStop, thanked me that day. Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu was a great game, and the battle system involved throwing Pokeballs at Pokemon instead of just battling them outright, so that was really cool. And then you'd have your battles in gyms. Overall, the game was fun. I have it lower in the, I have it higher in the list because it was fun, but there were definitely some things they could have added to it, like more multiplayer. But overall, great game. Next on the list is Super Mario Party. This one I have as number 18, and one of the reasons why I have it a little bit higher somewhere in the middle is because the game is still fun, even though the game definitely should have had handheld controls. Even though the game's online is lackluster, the game is still fun. I mean, it still wraps a lot of, it's not just like your traditional Mario Party. They're also using different Mario Party modes that were existing on 3DS. Like, a lot of people have this thing where it's like, the maps are too small. But people don't understand that the maps in the game are designed to be multi-purpose. They're grids on purpose because it's not just classic Mario Party. It's the special dice mode Mario Party. There's just so many different ways that they've implemented. Those maps are very dynamic. They're designed. And that's why they did that for that purpose. And that's why the maps are smaller. And the game is still fun though, and it's still a blast to play. And I think the maps are very memorable. The mini games are a lot of fun, and they actually do work very well for what the online mode has. It's great. And my favorite mode in the game is the music mode, because I'm a musician. So that, for me, that makes it really nice to see. But overall, I really enjoyed Super Mario Party. The next on the list, number 17, is Super Mario 3D All-Stars. One of my first Nintendo games of all time was Super Mario 64. So for me, when I saw this come out, I had to buy it. Reliving my childhood again with Super Mario 64, being able to go through Peach's Castle again and enter those worlds, it's a blast. And I loved getting the opportunity to play that again. I never played Super Mario Sunshine, so for me, that was a big yes for me, because I never had a GameCube. So I never got the chance to play through any GameCube game like Wind Waker or Sunshine or Double Dash or Thousand Year Door. I never played any of these games. So for me to get the chance to play Super Mario Sunshine finally was a great opportunity, and I'm so happy Nintendo brought it back. And then finally, Super Mario Galaxy, that I did play. I had a Wii. The game was absolutely beautiful, and it was so nice being able to play it again on the Switch. It works so well. Next on the list, number 16, is Pikmin 3. I never played Pikmin before, and this game did a great job at introducing to me what exactly Pikmin is, and I think it's really cool that it's an open-world survival game. I didn't know it was an open-world survival game. I didn't know it was a Metroidvania. I didn't know it was any of those things. And I think what made it such a fun game is that there's exploration involved, there's investigation involved, there's mini games and puzzles involved. I mean, it's such a good storyline too, and I love the strategy element of it. It's fun. I really, really enjoy it. Number 15 on the list is Fortnite. You can obviously get Fortnite on any console, but one of the reasons why I listed it for the Switch is because it's really fun on the Switch. You can take Fortnite with you anywhere you go, and I think what makes it so fun on the Switch is that it's easier to play it. I can play Fortnite in bed. Back in the time when I was dating another partner, I'd bring my Switch over to their place, and we would play Fortnite for hours, just hours upon hours, trying to level up those battle passes. When my ex and I, we would play Fortnite so much, it was crazy. Overall, though, it was a really, really fun game, and I still play it today on the Switch, and it's a blast. Number 14, I have Ring Fit Adventures. Ring Fit Adventure is a really cool game because it keeps you fit. It's definitely like the Wii Fit for the Switch, and it's a fitness RPG. Doesn't sound like it would be a good idea, but it also sounds like the perfect idea if you implement it the right way. And Nintendo hit it out of the park with the Ring Fit, with the Ring Fit accessory. It's just so much fun to use, and I got the chance to use it for a bit. I've been playing the game on and off. It's been a great pandemic kind of game as well, since it helps you do squats, it helps you work out your abs, your core, your biceps. It's one of those games where you don't even need equipment and you can still have a good workout out of it. And it even lets you do cardio. Number 13, I have Rocket League. Rocket League was a premium game for a little while on the Switch, and then after Epic Games acquired it, they went from premium to free. And the game is fun. It's a lot of fun. They have a battle pass now, or like a rocket pass, they call it. And I think what makes Rocket League for the Switch so fun is very similar to what I said for Fortnite. It's one of those games that it's so casual. It's so great. It's so easy to play. It has every online mode. It's basically full Rocket League on Switch. And your account cross-platforms it, so you can go between multiple versions of the game. It's so fun. It's a great game on the Switch. The gameplay is fantastic. The frame rate is not as good as like consoles or obviously your PC, but if you're trying to get a good Fortnite experience, it's a definite yes for the Switch. And the soundtrack is amazing. Highly recommended, especially since it's free. Number 12 is Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. This was another Wii U title. Overall, I really, really enjoy Tropical Freeze on the Switch, especially when they introduced the new character, because we have DK, Diddy Kong, Dixie Kong, Cranky Kong, and then we have, I have to look this up real quick, Donkey Kong, Tropical Freeze, characters, I forgot his name. I feel bad that I forgot. He's the one that like wears the sunglasses and he looks really cool. Let me look this up real quick. Switch characters. What's his name again? Funky Kong. That's it. Funky Kong. Funky Kong wears the sunglasses and he has like this really like bro vibe and he looks really cool and he has the bandana. what a sexy monkey. But anyway, he could play as him, and what makes him really cool is he has a surfboard, and the surfboard can protect him from like traps and stuff. And he's also stronger than the other characters, which makes him a more viable character if you're doing co-op. But yeah, no, it's a great, great game, and the co-op is so much fun. It's one of those games where if you're in pandemic right now, or if you're I don't think the game is online multiplayer, but I think it does have multiple multiplayer. So if you're in a pandemic and you're looking for a game to beat with someone, Donkey Kong is that game 100%. For number 11 on the list, it's Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury. I haven't played Bowser's Fury yet, but I did play Super Mario 3D World. This game takes me back in time, like almost 9 years ago, when I played the game with my ex. And this game is really fun. It's the first game I ever beat with my ex. It has a lot of memories for me. But what makes it so fun for the Switch version is that it's online co-op. So if you're like somewhere and you want to get the game for a friend or encourage a friend to get it, you can be at your house, your friend or family member or partner can be at their house, and you can play the co-op version of the game on your Switches together with this online co-op experience. And it's a great game. It's fantastic. There's teamwork involved. The levels are cleverly designed. Trying to grab all the green stars is a blast to play through. The soundtrack is orchestrated and beautiful. Overall, if you're looking for a great online and local co-op game, Super Mario 3D World on the Switch is, look no further. It is amazing. And I'm so happy that they gave us the opportunity to do that for the Switch. Number 10 is Fitness Boxing. I actually have this one lower than I have Ring Fit Adventure, and there's a reason why I picked Fitness Boxing, and this includes number 1 and number 2. It's more casual than Ring Fit. You don't need anything, you just need your Joy-Cons, and that's it. And the songs in the game that you box to are a lot of fun, and I think if you're trying to get a quick workout in, Fitness Boxing definitely does that for you, and that's pretty much one of the reasons why I put it lower on the list. Number 9 is Fire Emblem Three Houses, and one of the reasons why I really enjoy this game is because it is fully voice acted. It takes place in a school, so if you're like a Harry Potter fan, or if you want to try like a Sims style simulation game at a school, this is definitely the game for it. You can choose between three houses, obviously, and you can like help these students learn and grow. I mean, the game had its first ever LGBT gay romance options, and or just say or something. It's just there's so many things that this game did that changed Fire Emblem forever, and I'm so happy that Fire Emblem developers and Nintendo like made that opportunity possible. And it's a great game. The story is great. Overall, fantastic game. Number eight, I have Super Mario Maker 2. The reason why I have this one at eight is because it's a great game. And when it first came out, I remember coworkers, friends, family sending me codes for Mario Maker levels. And it was so cool being able to play all of my friends' games and all my friends' Mario Maker levels. And there was a good chunk of time that we were just having a blast just playing through our levels together. Being funny, being silly with it. It was so much fun. It's playing through Mario Maker levels is a blast to play, and it's a blast from the past because you're playing the SNES, the NES versions, you're playing Super Nintendo versions. I mean, the game was constantly updated. It has a great campaign. It's one of those games that will definitely continue to be relevant for a very long time. Number seven, I have Pokemon Sword and Shield. And one of the reasons why I have it lower on the list for Pokemon Sword and Shield is because it was the first Pokemon on the Switch, and it was the first console-based Nintendo Switch Pokemon game. And they've always been mobile. Like, they've always been, like, 3DS, Game Boy Advance. This was the very first, like, hybrid Pokemon game. And it really did a good job. I mean, at least in my opinion, I thought it was good. Could it have been better? Could they have done voice acting? Could they have done better online? Could they have done a different kind of story? Could they have done like more camera and like movements? Could they have done like different? Yes, they could have done all those things. But I think that for what it was, it did a great job. The soundtrack in the Galar Gym Battles is amazing. It's one of my favorite gym battle songs of all time. The starters are adorable, and I think that for being a Pokemon game, it was very straightforward. It was very on the rails, and I think it did a great job at just capturing a good story. I mean, I think it was just trying to, I think that the developers were just trying to like fuel us into a really good story, into a cute story in a very like straightforward way to try to get you through, trying to build this world basically for us. And the reason I think is because when you finally beat the game and you get to the end game content, now you have these big wild areas and you can have fun playing through them, and you have this world and you have this lore, and then you have the DLC expansions. I mean, for the first time ever, Game Freak decided to do DLC expansions instead of releasing standalone games. So it's so cool seeing that Nintendo gave us the opportunity, and Game Freak gave us an opportunity to have this game have these wild areas and expansions. I mean, I still have to finish the expansions. But overall, I think that this is a great step in the right direction for Game Freak as far as Pokemon Sword and Shield goes. They tested the waters on some really neat features, including the wild areas. I mean, it kind of felt like an MMO. Go to that wild area, turn on the online mode, and you can see other players on their bikes riding along next to you. You can see so many things, and it's just such a positive, amazing experience. Next game on the list after Sword and Shield is number six, Luigi's Mansion 3. What makes Luigi's Mansion 3 such a very impactful game for me? I never played a Luigi's Mansion game before. I played two. I played Dark Moon for a little bit on the Nintendo 3DS. But what makes 3 such a fun game is that it's a very interesting experience. It kind of reminds me a lot of Super Mario Odyssey. You have these worlds, and then you have like this closed off, but they're like closed off, and each world is a separate floor. And you can go back and forth between floors, between worlds, but there's so much to collect. There's so much to do. There's so much to see. It's very Metroidvania-esque, where items you collect or like equipment you grab that you obtain later on in the game can go back and be used in earlier locations of the game. There's so much replay value. There's a mini game mode that you can play now that's single player. There's multiplayer online modes that are a lot of fun that are co-op. Overall, it's a really fun game, and it's a great Halloween title. Number five, I have Splatoon 2, and this is a great game because it's online. It was one of the first online Nintendo Switch games that had like such a great fan following, and it's still relevant today. I mean, Nintendo just announced Splatoon 3. Ah, it's such a great game, Splatoon. I mean, painting has never been more fun, especially when you're squids and you're shooting each other and you're using a paint roller or whatever. Overall, Splatoon is one of those great Nintendo Switch titles and I love it. Number four, I have Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. I mean, it speaks for itself. Every Super Smash Bros. Character ever announced, they're still supporting it today. All of this content that we're getting with the new locations, new world, the story mode, like, okay, yeah, it's not the Wii's Subspace Emissary. It's not. It didn't have that kind of appeal and effect. But overall, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is a great game. It's one of those games that you can just play and play and play and play and it never gets old. And it's such a blast to play with friends. It's such a blast to play like by yourself. It's one of those games that you're just, it's just always going to be fun. Number three, I have Zelda Breath of the Wild. For me, this was a very amazing, impactful Zelda game. And one of the reasons why I make it number three is because it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of to do in the game. It had a lot of openness to it. I spent hours upon hours on the shrines. It's one of those games that just has so much you can do. Overall, I recommend Zelda Breath of the Wild if you're looking for a good adventure experience that has just so much you can do and explore. You can fly anywhere. You can ride horses. You can talk to characters. You can go to villages. You can have a house. There's literally so much in the game you can do, and it's ridiculous. You can even beat the game like from the get-go. Like if you just wanted to start the game, it may be really difficult, but if you wanted to start the game from point A to point B and just beat it, you're more than welcome to. Zelda, though, I mean, it's Zelda. It's a great game. Number two, I have Super Mario Odyssey. And one of the reasons why I have this as number two is because, in my opinion, it's definitely my number one Mario game of all time, especially more than 64, than Sunshine, than Galaxy. I mean, Odyssey just like puts, like, it just sets a new bar for what Mario games can be. I mean, in terms of story, in terms of soundtrack, in terms of just everything. Cappy is such a memorable character. And when I see Mario, I think of Cappy now. It's such a great experience with that game. And I can't wait to see what's in store for Nintendo and what they decide to do an Odyssey sequel. The worlds were so great. I mean, the game is open-ended. I mean, the game's story was great, but like once you beat that story, you're like welcome to go back and just have a blast in this like post-story world where you'll like, wait, I mean, I'm not going to spoil it, but it's such a great game. And then finally, number one, drum roll, please. My number one Switch game is Animal Crossing New Horizons. And the reason why I picked Animal Crossing New Horizons is because it came out during a time when we needed it the most. It came out during the pandemic and we were all shut inside in our houses and we were all very scared and worried about ourselves. And we were all very worried about what was going to happen in the world, what was happening with us. And now we had to wear masks and now we had, you know, nothing to do. Well, we had Animal Crossing New Horizons. We had a tropical island that we can escape to, that we could build a tent from a tent to a house. We could have villagers. We had rest and relaxation. We had like a world away from the world. And Animal Crossing is one of those games that has creativity now. I mean, the multiplayer can be better, but it's so much fun. I mean, I was hanging out with people on Animal Crossing all the time. There were people that were not gamers that would play Animal Crossing. I mean, it was one of those amazing, impactful Animal Crossing games, and I just love it. I loved Animal Crossing. I recommend Animal Crossing to anybody out there. It's a great game. It's a relaxing game. If you're looking for a positive, relaxing experience, I recommend Animal Crossing. It's the epitome of chill. But yeah. Absolutely amazing game, and it's my number one Switch game of all time. I think I have an ungodly number of hours. I think it's like 200 hours already. Great game. And that pretty much sums up my top 25 Nintendo Switch games. On the next part, I'll be on the playlist. Welcome to the playlist portion of the show. Here's where I talk about the games that I have been playing this week. And to be honest, it's more like game singular. I recently started streaming Sea of Thieves for the PC. And if you don't watch my streams, you can go to Italian Gamer Joe on Twitch. Once again, it's Italian Gamer Joe, all one word, on Twitch. You can also find me on YouTube. I post my videos on YouTube as well. So Sea of Thieves is a game that came out for Xbox One and PC, I want to say about 3 years ago. And Rare, the company that made Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, Banjo-Nuts and Bolts, they are the ones responsible for Sea of Thieves. And what makes Sea of Thieves such an impactful, fun, exciting game is that you're a pirate. And you get to create a pirate, and you get to customize them, and you get to send them off into this world where they get to go on quests for booty. There's these three different emissaries that you can join, and before you join them, you have to level up yourself and go on missions for them. And the missions include like finding treasure on a treasure map, and then sailing to that like island and digging up the booty and bringing it back, killing a pirate captain and bringing it back the booty, and then finally doing like merchant missions where you're like doing like sailing to different places to deliver goods. What makes the game so impactful, though, is that it's an MMO, but it's a PvP MMO, which means that you are going to be on the world of the game. You're going to be in the server, but there's going to be other players in that server that are going to be finding you, trying to attack you, trying to take your booty. Because you can, if you're going on a quest and you get that booty, you're not safe. Like, you're not safe until you deliver it, which means that if a ship is passing by you and they're getting ready to blow up their cannons, they can take that booty and they can finish the quest for you and get the money for it. So the game is very much a PvP arena kind of situation where you got to be very careful, very careful. And no zone is safe. Like even the places that you would assume would be neutral zones, like outposts, like towns where you can deliver your booty. Nope. You can be talking to a merchant and someone can kill you. Or you could be like, you know, doing something and someone can kill you. Or you can do this and then someone can kill. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, unless you're on a team with someone, the game allows 4-player co-op, and I have yet to try the co-op, but yeah, I mean, you gotta be very careful in this game. It's a PvP zone everywhere, and there's no laws, so like any owns booties for the taken, any players can grab you. I mean, this is not like a bug or glitch or anything. I mean, this is like a 3-year thing that's been a consistent feature of the game. Like, they're not advertising this as a bug, it's a feature. And it's really funny. So far with my experience in the game, I've put in about maybe 6-7 hours, and it's really fun. It's one of those games that's very relaxing. I mean, you have your own ship, and depending on how big your crew is, your ship size changes. But as far as your ship goes, you'll have to like set the sails down, you'll have to raise and lower the anchor, you'll have to steer the ship, you'll have a compass navigation system. But it's not like the game doesn't tell you where to go. You have to figure it out yourself. Inside the ship, you have a map system that tells you like which way the ship is facing and like which way the ship goes going. But this game does not hold your hand. It makes you do everything manually. Like if you get a new treasure map, it'll tell you what the island looks like and it'll tell you where the treasure might be. It's a suggestion. But getting to that island is up to you. Finding that island is up to you. Where to go on that island, how to dock from it is up to you. If your ship crashes into a rock or gets damaged, you'll have to go below the deck and you'll have to like scoop the water out with a bucket and make sure that your ship doesn't start sinking. If you start like getting water from holes in the ship, you have to get some wood and repair it. So you have to make sure that there's always wood in your ship. If you end up getting booty and bringing it back to your ship, try to put it somewhere where a player won't easily find it if you get attacked. Always have your cannons loaded just in case. It's just crazy. I will say though that in my experience of the game, I've only been attacked once on my ship. All the other times that I've played, it's been pretty positive, and it's very cathartic. It's very relaxing. I was looking at the Steam reviews of the game before I decided to purchase it, and the very, very first Steam review says, "Would recommend, makes me forget about her." And I couldn't help but think to myself, like, oh my gosh, is this a breakup? Like, did someone get broken up with? Or, I mean, I don't want to think morbidly if that person died, but like, I can't help but feel those same vibes. The game has a very, very cathartic feel to it, especially when you're looking out into the sea or you're in an outpost island and you're just looking out into the distance of the horizon. It's one of those games that even though you're like in a virtual world, it helps you remember how big the world is and how there's so much mystery and intrigue and just how small we really are. And How we're here today, gone tomorrow. I mean, it's one of those games that are that really it makes you feel so impactful by the experiences we go through together, and it makes me think about like the times that I had like it makes me think about my past relationships with my like exes and stuff, and how much I've learned and grown, and how much wisdom I've gained from each and every experience that I've been in, and it's definitely helping. It definitely is a game that helps. That's helping like my healing process, and it's helping with everything. And I definitely can see the appeal of why someone would play a game like this, because you're sailing, you're out in the open sea, you're going on islands, you're a pirate. It's definitely one of those games where, as opposed to like another MMO, like say Final Fantasy 14, for example, where that game is more like technical and there's more of like a technical way of doing things. Sea of Thieves is more like for the, I want to say that while like games like WoW or Final Fantasy are more like on the technical side, more on like the specific way, Sea of Thieves has a more of an open-ended approach where you don't have to it's not like A to B. It's not like, I mean, yeah, there's A to B, but like you can do kind of whatever you want. There's no like specific way to do things. You kind of have to just go by what you feel or in the moment or how you're doing with it. And that's what makes it more fun, I think. That's what makes this kind of MMO experience more enticing, because there's just so much uncertainty and there's so much randomness to it. It's very much a wild card kind of experience. And I think that that's what might entice a lot of people that are looking for MMO to play. That it's one of those experiences where you kind of jump like it. When I think of like Final Fantasy, I think of like, okay, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna level up for like a few hours, and you know I'm gonna have like, and this, I mean, I'm gonna just put a disclaimer and say that Final Fantasy is a great game. Final Fantasy 14 is an awesome game. Like I like it, but it's one of those experiences where I like sit down. I'm like, all right, if I'm gonna play Final Fantasy, time to read through a bunch of dialogue, time to like level up for 3 hours, time to make sure my gear level is high enough, time to like try to look at some raids, time to like just ugh. And then I think about Sea of Thieves and I can hear the music in the background starting up, and I can imagine myself like just getting ready, and I see the sun rising and I see my ship outside on the harbor, and I'm thinking about all this treasure that I'm gonna find, and I'm sharing a grog with an online player that doesn't want to kill me. Or I'm with my crewmates and we're just sailing the seven seas looking for booty. It's one of those games that is such an impactful experience, and it teaches you how to be on a team. And there's so much uncertainty to the world around you. There's so much uncertainty to everything around you. And it's one of those games where it's helped kind of like, it's almost like helped my anxiety a little bit, where it's helped me embrace the fact that you can do the best, you can be the best, but at the end of the day, you really don't know what's going to happen. You can be sailing and all of a sudden a storm will happen and you'll have to gear up with either by yourself or with your teammates. And you're going to have to make sure you're steering that ship right. Otherwise it's going to, and while handling, you know, making sure your ship doesn't get overflown with water, steering your ship away from a Kraken. You heard me right. A Kraken, sharks, other ships that want to attack you. This is one of those games that is such a crazy experience. And I think it's one of the coolest MMOs I've ever played in my entire life. And it is a very small price of admission. I think it's free with Xbox Game Pass, but you regular price on Steam and stuff is $40. And that's a one-time fee. You could get the season one Pirate Pass, which is $10. And then they have a store where you can like change the way your character looks and you can like buy customizables. But there's no level up system other than like the emissary levels, and any gear that you get is purely cosmetic. So if you're like playing the game, you're not really upgrading anything other than like your gear, which is cosmetic, and then you're leveling up like for the emissary levels and stuff like that. But overall, the game has a campaign. So like the campaign mode is really, really cool. Yesterday I tried one of the first campaign missions ever, and what makes it so effective is that it really, like I said, the game does not hold your hand at all. Think of like Final Fantasy 14, where the game's like, all right, go to this destination on the map. I have it marked right here, and, you know, come back and you'll have like, you know, your experience points and your gold. Like in this game, literally the first thing that you hear from the first story mission is, here's the pirate captain's journal. read it and go find it. Bye. Like, that's it. Just go find it. We're not helping you with anything else. So I literally had to go back to my ship. I had to open the pirate journal. I had to read the pirate journal, like from top to bottom. I had to read it. And literally I had to look for clues in the journal. And the clue I found told me, okay, well, the quest point you're looking for is between these two islands. And it gave me like a line, but that's it. That was all I could go on. And as I sailed to that area, I realized there's so many different areas that I could go to, and there's more than one uncharted isle in that area. So I'm like, I'm spending like an hour trying to look through all these uncharted isles. I'm like, okay, well, this is weird. Where am I supposed to go? Like, I don't get it. Like, this is very confusing. And compared to a game like Final Fantasy 14, say, for example, where the game is very technical, very games where you're like, go over here, we're going to walk your hand over to this destination. That's not how this game is. The Sea of Thieves does not do that. This game is like, all right, you're going to find it. And you're going to find it by yourself. Good luck. I think I spent a whole hour just trying to find this aisle, and I couldn't find it. Finally, I go back to the journal and I look at the few pages again, and I notice that the pirate captain drew what the aisle looks like, or he drew like some kind of like representation of what he thought the aisle looked like. And I remembered, like, while I was sailing through it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I saw what that aisle looked like. So I sailed back to that area and I went underwater, and sure enough, I found it. And it's these pivotal moments in Sea of Thieves that make it a magical experience, that make it the experience that I have never gotten before in any MMO game before, that holds your hand. I've never gotten anything like this before. And I think that's why this game is so fun, and why, and it's mind-boggling to me that it's not popular enough. Because it's one of those games that really teaches you independence. It teaches you that even if you have anxiety, or, you know, like, it's okay to have anxiety. It's okay to have, like, to be freaking out. But you got to stay, and you got to fight your ground. It's one of those games where you just can't run away from your problems. You have to communicate with your crewmates. You have to communicate yourself. It's one of those games where, you know, the game doesn't hold your hand for missions. It's one of those games that helps you embrace the unknown, and helps you embrace life, and embrace that even though something might make you scared, or even though something might make you feel a certain way, this game helps you remember why we're alive, which is to embrace the unknowns of life, and to, you know, forgive, embrace peace, to, you know, how essential communication is, and positivity and all that. But that's, I think, one of the biggest pieces of Sea of Thieves, which is just embracing that unknown. And I think that's why that Steam reviewer put helps me forget about her, because it's definitely one of those games where it's an adventure, and it's one of those experiences where I've never had this from an MMO game before, where I'll come to my desk and I'll get ready to stream, and I can't help but think to myself, like, this doesn't feel like a game. This feels like, I feel like I'm going to another world. I feel like I'm being transferred from my desk to my boat, and all of a sudden I'm sailing, and all of a sudden I'm trying to find treasure, and I don't know what the future holds, but I'm having a lot of fun doing it. And I think that's what makes it such a great experience for a game. And it's taught me so many lessons in such a short span of time, and in the 6 hours I've played it. And I can't help but be so excited and happy that a game has done this for me. And I can understand the appeal from what these players are also saying, that it's such a positive game. It does such a great job at doing this. And I can't help but agree. And I think that Rare hit it out of the park. And I hope that this game continues to raise in popularity. And I hope that the Sea of Thieves continues to be a fun game. It's such a great game. And also, I think it's a great first date kind of game too. Like, if you're looking for a game to play with someone to go on a date with digitally, or if you're dating someone already, I can definitely recommend Sea of Thieves. It's definitely a great game to play, to be a teammate with your partner and go and jump in. It's one of those games where I definitely wished that, like, if my ex and I were still together, we definitely would be playing this together. It's one of those games that it definitely is a great investment, and there's so much you can do in it. And it's a great game. It's a fantastic game. And it teaches a lot of lessons, and there's so much learning and growth from it. And I definitely stand by it. It's a great game. In the next portion of the show, I'm going to talk about the question of the week. Welcome to the question of the week portion of the show. This is the part of the show where I talk about a question that I asked the players that are in my community. The question that I asked this week was a very interesting one, and it is, what is your secret guilty pleasure video game? So I'm going to read some of the community answers, and then I'll go ahead with mine. One community member, Lin Lane, says, this may be embarrassing, but Zumbinis. It's an old 90s game about three purpley-blue things that are immigrating from a hostile, tyrannical state to their motherland, for lack of a better word. The premise of the game is that you assist them on the treacherous Underground Railroad, helping them pass through caves, appease trolls, and cross steep cliffs by completing various puzzles. Like I said, it's meant for children, but they do have some decent difficulty levels. Most puzzles involve finding or creating patterns between the Zumbinis or their environments. Like, for example, one level is a cave that you need to cross, and there are four caves with four guards. The guards will not tell you what features of the Zumbini they like, or they will allow through the cave, so you have to determine using trial and error based on who they do and don't allow, what characteristics they like and dislike. It's on iOS and iPad now, and I've been playing it for the last few days. It's super nostalgic for me, and honestly, the higher difficulty levels are pretty good. Well, thanks, Lin Lin. That sounds like a really fun game, and I'm happy to hear that Zumbinis is on iOS and iPad. Thank you for that answer. Now I'm going to go ahead and jump over to the next community that I posted this in, and I'm going to start reading through these comments. Let's see. So Antonio told me Genshin Impact on PS4. He enjoys it, and he enjoys the Battle Pass. He loves the game. Brandon says Rock Band 4 on PS4. Expert vocalist if anyone needs me. 610 songs. All exports except Green Day, skill at 1,000. And then he did a shout out to himself. Brandon underscore Lee 83 on PSN. Paul says, Clicker Heroes. It took 1,000 hours plus from my life, but I still keep coming back to it for some mindless clicking. Thank you. Lucas says, Vanquish. Ed says, Dynasty Warriors, anything. Ben says, Balloon Tower Defense 6. Frank says, Puzzle Quest. Sure, it's a match 3 game, but every time I play, I feel like I'm making progress by gradually leveling up to get stronger to fight the boss battles. William says, Deadly Premonition, Remothered, and Fallout 76. And then he did a gif of probably a character from one of the games that looks kind of eerie. Evan sent me a gif, and it looks like Dark Souls, and the knight is dancing, and a dog, I think, is dancing, and they're at a fire. It's actually like really adorable. But yeah, so that's pretty much what the community's engagement was with guilty pleasure video games. I guess now I have to answer, right? So what is my guilty pleasure video games? Oh man. I have a lot of games that I really, really enjoy. And I guess when I asked this question, when I said, what is your guilty pleasure video game? I assume that for me, a guilty pleasure is like a game that you really like that you enjoy, but maybe it's not as popular anymore, or it's a game that's just not widely known, that you see yourself going back to once in a while. So I have a few answers for this one. The first answer that I have is Fortnite. And for me, Fortnite's one of those games that it's very popular, obviously, but I know that a lot of the community of gamers out there are very divided on it, because some people are like, oh, it's a kid game, or oh, it's, you know, the battle, the building is this or that or whatever. But yeah, Fortnite for me has been a very guilty pleasure game, and I've spent an ungodly number of hours playing it. And for me, Fortnite's a lot of fun. I've spent a lot of money on battle passes and the cosmetics, and more than I care to share. And I am proud of it. The game is a great game, and it's a lot of fun, and it's fun getting the opportunity to play it with my family, and the building is a lot of fun, and I've had so many great experiences playing it with friends. I have to say Fortnite is definitely one of my guilty pleasure games. Another one that I'm going to talk about is a game that you can only get on Big Fish Games, I think, and it's called Life Quest 2. If you're a fan of games like The Sims, then I think Life Quest 2 would be a great game for you to try. I think it's on Big Fish Games for sure, and I'm not sure if it's on Steam, but I know it's on Big Fish Games. This is a really cute game where you create a character and you have them work like jobs on this like 9-step program to helping them like become a better version of themselves. And they start off in an apartment and then work their way up to whatever you want, or you can just keep them in the apartment and you can decorate your place and you can talk to some friends, you can get married. The game is an LGBT inclusive game, so you can do like same sex marriages, and you can do adopt children. The game supports like different jobs. There's so much customization in Life Quest 2, and it's such a fun game. And the game is really old. It's actually an older game, but it's on. I know for sure it's on PC, and I love it. I've played that game more. I've played the career mode in that game more times than I care to, and it's so fun. It's so relaxing for me. And the whole premise of the game is that your city that you live in is being riddled with crime and with horrible things and with just, you know, with just horrible situations, like for the environment, everything. And Metropolville is like this new town, up and coming town, and but it's not like a town that you would go to stay permanently. The way it works is that you would sign up, and then when you would go to that town, you'd live there for a period of time, say like a year. And while you're in Metropolville, you're a part of this like 12-step program, and the 12-step program is like missions that you go on. And the game is an open world. Like, you can go and travel anywhere you want, but the idea is that you would select a mission from the 12-step program, and the missions might be like start getting a job, just a simple job, or, you know, like do something for the environment, or, you know, exercise today. And these are self-help goals for yourself to build confidence in yourself, but it's also for the world and to make a world a better place. And at the end of a year, when the game is done, the game goes through the 12 steps that you went through, and then the game basically sends you off to go back to the town where you came from. And the game leaves you with the message of thank you for, you know, playing the game. Thank you for spending the time to be responsible and to learn through all these things, and go help make the world a better place. Go spread that cheer, that positivity, these responsibilities and these lessons you've learned. And I think it's a very positive game. I always loved games that have very positive messages, and games that have very positive experiences. Cause, you know, I think that video games teach a lot of people play video games, and I always love it when video games teach positivity and teach positive lessons for people. Like, you know, for embracing forgiveness. And for me, this one is a good one. It's about like karma, about doing good deeds. If you're doing good deeds, if you're doing human things, if you're talking to people, if you're helping people, you're giving them closure, if you're doing charity, or you're helping to make the world a better place by just helping someone, talk to someone, be empathetic for someone, sympathizing with people, if you're helping people, you know, these are very important things to do. And I truly believe that if you do good deeds, if you spread good deeds and you help people, and you help people either with moving on or being friends or doing charity or volunteering or helping coworkers or helping friends or helping with projects or being a listening ear for someone, those good deeds that you do out into the world will come back to you, and that you will do good deeds, and vice versa. If you are spreading anger and misery and resentment and unforgiveness, those deeds come back to you. You got to really, and I don't mean that in a revenge-y kind of way. I mean it in the sense that if you're only going to surround your life with misery and resentment and anger, like that's going to be how you approach the world. That'll be your lens. If you start embracing the power of forgiveness, of communication, of talking to people, of volunteering, of making good choices, of spreading positivity, embracing, you know, really looking into yourself and, you know, asking yourself, like, you know, who am I? And am I making the right choices? Am I being a good person? Am I doing the human thing? Am I being an empathetic person, sympathetic? Am I in touch with my emotions? These are hard questions to ask yourself. Am I being the best I can be? Am I responsible? Am I all these things? And I think that what makes Life Quest 2 a very fun game is that it helps you. Not only are you helping this in-game character and you're helping their life, but you're also thinking back at your own life and thinking about how you can better and improve yourself, and how you can improve the relationships in your life with your family or your friends, how you can embrace forgiveness and embrace the power of being a better you, and also helping other people be better versions of themselves if they want it. So and that's what makes, I think, Life Quest 2 such a fun game and one of my guilty pleasures. It's one of those games where if I'm ever feeling bad or upset, I go back to it and I do the 12-step program in the game. And it feels good for, it feels good like helping that character. And then when I leave that game, I can feel, I feel like I can finally go back and help myself. But yeah, that's one of my guilty, that's another guilty pleasure of mine, Life Quest 2. I'm trying to think of any other guilty pleasures that I have. I mean, there's so many games that I love that are games that are definitely hidden gems and games that are, I think the very last guilty pleasure, I guess I can bring up is The Sims 4. And one of the reasons why I'm bringing up The Sims 4 is because it's a game that's about, it's very similar to Life Quest, to be honest. You're setting up a new life for yourself. And it doesn't have to be you. It could be a character you, that you just create. When I play The Sims 4, though, I create myself. And I think for me, what makes it really fun is, growing up for me, The Sims was like a world away from a world. It was the opportunity for me to kind of like escape. And I think what makes that's, and that's what make, that's what video games really are. They're an escape. And I think that The Sims 4 for me is a lot of fun because it allows me to go to different worlds. It allows me to go somewhere else. It allows me to be something else. And I think it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy The Sims. I really enjoy building houses in the game and like decorating rooms. And it's definitely taught me a lot about responsibility, with about with friendships, with about just so many things. And The Sims 4 over the years, especially over the expansions, they've introduced so many interesting features like the social system, the friend system, the social network system, even dating features. They've introduced new environments like vacations you can go on. And like, I think my characters are currently living like on an island somewhere. And the game, you know, they're also becoming more inclusive. The game is very, very LGBT friendly. My character is a gay character that's, you know, married to his partner, which is actually my ex, so I should probably remove that. But it's such a great game, though, and I really love The Sims. And for me, The Sims is always going to be one of those games that I'll go back to no matter what. It's a game that really impacted my life growing up, and I remember playing it so much with my family, with friends. It's one of those games that it's just a blast to play through. But yeah, that's my question of the week, and I want to thank everybody out there who answered my question, and thank you all for giving me the opportunity to read your answers. And tune in next week for the next question of the week. In the next portion of the show, I'm going to talk about the positive quote. Welcome to the positive quote portion of the week. This is where I read a positive quote that I found online, and then I kind of give like a little reflection for it. So the quote that I have this week is, "You can't control how other people perceive your energy. Anything you do or say gets filtered through the lens of whatever personal crap they are going through in the moment, which is not about you at all. Just keep doing your thing with as much integrity and love as possible." I'll say it again. You can't control how other people perceive your energy. Anything you do or say gets filtered through the lens of whatever personal crap they are going through in that moment, which is not about you at all. Just keep doing your thing with as much integrity and love as possible. The reason why I picked a quote like this is because it's very true. Messages and written messages can get misconstrued so easily, because people are reading it and they're filtering it in their heads of whatever they're going through in those moments, which might not even be about you anymore. It might be about anger they had earlier in the day, or anger they had about a person, or anger about a parent or a loved one or a past experience they had that made them really angry. And they're going to channel that energy, and they're going to channel those feelings, and they're going to write something that they're going to regret later, or they're going to say something to you that they're going to regret later, or they might say something really mean. And, you know, is it fair to you? No. You're just trying to be caring. You're trying to be loving. You're trying to be you. What makes you great? What makes you the great person you are? And then it gets misconstrued. And it's not even about you anymore. It's about that filter. And I think the person themselves doesn't even know that they're doing it. I mean, and it sucks. It really sucks. And I think in that situation, accepting that you can't control people perceive that energy is a very hard pill to swallow. And being able to just do your own thing with as much integrity and love as possible is very important as well. And this is why I always say that if you're having a serious conversation with somebody, make sure to do it either on the phone or in person, and preferably in person. And if you're social distance or whatever reason, then do a Zoom call, do a FaceTime, do something so that you can actually see the person face to face, even if you're on the phone, or even if you're just, it's so much better that way. Communication is so much better when you're not writing it down. When you can see the person. You can't control how other people perceive your energy. Anything you do or say gets filtered through the lens of whatever personal crap they're going through in the moment, which is not about you at all. Just keep doing your thing with as much integrity and love as possible. I think that what also makes this quote really interesting is that when it comes to heartbreak, when it comes to, say, a breakup, different people have different ways of responding to drama, to criticism, to sadness, to anger, to depression. Some people need time and space. I'm not like that. I'm the kind of person where I would rather talk about things. I'd rather get them voiced out. I don't want to bottle things up. I don't want to internalize things. I don't need time and space. What I need is communication. What I need is embracing your feelings, is getting those feelings out in the open, because internalizing things is not fun. I mean, I'm a gay person. I've internalized my sexuality for 20 years, and that can really mess you up. So I've known that when it comes to internalizing and bottling things up, it's not healthy for people. And I think that being able to talk about those things is really important. And I think that people in general, though, don't feel the same way. Some people prefer to internalize things. Some people prefer to bottle things up. That's just how they process things. That's just how they go through things, which is not fair and not fun either. I've read that, you know, like internalizing and bottling things can create resentment with people. It can create like horrible situations where people just, you know, think of you a certain way, and it's not fun. It's not fair. And it's, I think that, you know, in those situations, you kind of need to talk to that person and see if you can get them to open up about those feelings, because if they don't, then it's going to just create, make things worse for you or for them as well. But if they're in a situation where they're slamming that door on you and they don't even want to talk to you anymore, there's not much you can do. And having gone through this personally, let them go. Just let them go. They have their own learning and growing to do. And one day they will realize that internalizing and bottling up these emotions and feelings, they need to come out. You need to talk of these things. You need to just talk about it with that person. And, you know, maybe they'll learn that. You know, and they might come back to you and say, hey, I'm sorry I bottled those emotions up. I'm sorry I didn't give you the closure you were looking for. I'm sorry I didn't do those things. And I hope that maybe you can hear me now, and I'll listen to you now, and I'll tell you how I'm feeling now. And, you know, maybe they will, and maybe they won't. Maybe they won't do that. And that's something you also have to accept. If you're a person on listening that does that, bottles things up, you know, I encourage you to take the time you need, but then one day maybe do reach out to that person and do tell that person, you know, how you're feeling. Break those bottles open and try to forgive and have them forget, and, you know, just talk it through, either in person, on the phone, FaceTime, whatever. Just talk it through these things together, and it'll make you feel lighter as a person. It'll make you feel so much better as a person that you get those feelings out in the open and that you're not internalizing it by yourself anymore. And yeah, talking about it with your friends is one thing, but talking about it with that person is another, because you're giving them the closure they are looking for. You're giving them the opportunity to move on instead of them having to take the painstaking process, the even more heartbreaking process of having to search through the closure within themselves, which is very, very difficult thing to do, alone at least. For those of you out there that require communication, that require, you know, that don't need the time and space, but instead need the communication. I'd recommend that you stop communicating or attempting to communicate with this person. That give them, let them go, give them the time and space they need, because they're not going to be your place for it anymore. And talk to a therapist, talk to friends, talk to a parent, talk to a family member. Talk by yourself, talk in your car, talk in the shower, talk, start a podcast. And maybe what you can even do is you can go on an artificial intelligence bot like Replica or something, create a replica of that person, name them. I mean, this sounds crazy, but if something like that will help you, give you closure, then do that. You know, talk to an AI version of that person. Spill out your feelings to the AI version. You know, we're in a day and age now where you can create an artificial intelligence of the person, and you can tell them good things, tell them bad things, and that person, then that AI will respond accordingly. Because we live in that day and age now. But I guess my point that I'm trying to make is, if you're that type of person that require that really wants that communication, that really wants that kind of experience with somebody, definitely try to get it with somebody else. Because if you continue to try to get it from them, it's just going to make them feel, to be honest, I don't even know, because I've never been in that kind of person's shoes before, but my guess, if I had to guess, is that it's going to make them feel worse about everything, and it's just going to make them shut down even more, and it's going to make them feel threatened, because they're basically going inside themselves and they don't want any communication. They don't want, so it's like you're just kind of like trying to knock on the window, and you know, they just are going to try to close the shades because they don't want to communicate. So there's not much you can do there. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's how they process things. And unfortunately, that's not who you are. You're not that type of person. So there's a few situations you can do here. You can either wait for them to get bodic. You can wait for them to get back out of that shell until they're ready. But there's no promises. I mean, they might get back out of that shell again, but they might never talk to you again. And that's unfortunate. Or you can walk away. You can swallow that pill and you can talk to someone. And that includes a family member, a friend, or even a new partner. A new partner that will listen to you, that will communicate with you, that if drama happens or if something happens, they are going to talk to you and they're not going to ask for time and space. And they're going to, you know, and you know, going back to the person that asks for time and space, you know, they'll learn one day too. And who knows, maybe they'll meet someone of their own that also needs time and space. That's also just as time and spacey as they are. And, you know, whenever they get into arguments, they'll just be like, all right, well, I'll see you in 3 days. I'll see you in a week. Okay, bye. Maybe that's how people with time and space handle their drama. Like, all right, I'll see, like, you know, maybe that, and you know what, at the end of the day, like, if that's how they want to do it, great, you know, that's more power to them. If you are a type of person that requires that communication though, and would prefer to talk things through and prefer to, then try to talk to people and try to have a partner that's how they process these things. And that is a good attention point for getting to know someone and getting to ask about, you know, like what they do in situations like that. And it definitely will help. It definitely goes back to a compatibility thing. But the best thing I think that anybody can do in situations is to realize that it's not about you. It's about them, what they're going through. And that, you know, at the end of the day, just let it go and walk away, because there's not really much else you can do anymore. I mean, you've tried everything. You've tried everything. So just walk away. And it sucks. It really sucks. I'm in a lot of pain, but I get better every day. I can't believe I'm even saying that, to be honest. But anyway, that quote is a very great quote. And as long as you just keep doing your thing with as much integrity and love as possible, that's all you can do. There's not much else you can do. And, you know, I don't know what the future holds anymore. And I really hope that maybe one day my past person can come back to me and we can talk again and just be cordial with each other. And if they don't, that's fine too. But We'll see. Like I said, I don't know what the future holds anymore. I'm just going to keep being me. And I encourage anybody out there that's also going through a heartbreak to keep being you. To let go of those people. And if you're in a situation where you're in a relationship with somebody right now still, and this person requires time and space, and you're still dating them, give them that time and space. And when they come back, definitely tell them, all right, well, now that you've given me that time, now that I've given you that time and space, can we just like talk about like my feelings or something? That way you can like, or you're, we can open up a little bit more about your feelings, and we can just voice them out. Cause that definitely is important, giving someone the opportunity to voice out those feelings or even yourself. At least that's my opinion. And, you know, don't follow this. Don't like, you know, quote me on that. I'm not a therapist. But that's definitely my like interpretation of situations like that. And if I'm wrong, you can feel free to reach out to me on Anchor and tell me, hey, Joe, you're wrong. Which is totally fine. At the end of the day, I've learned that, just like this quote says, just do your thing with as much integrity and love as possible. And, you know, let go and just try to move on and embrace the people in your life that care about you, that love you, that challenge you to be more happier, positive, compassionate, sympathetic person. Because there's people out there that are like that. And, you know, life is too short to be angry, to be resentful, to be mean, to be all these other things. You know, embrace the positivity of life. Embrace the silly side of life. Embrace the cheerfulness, the positivity, the goodness, the happy things in life. Because life is too short to be jealous, angry, envious, greedy, to be mean, or to not forgive people. Like, just let it go. Life is too short. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. And that is a very unfortunate fact, but it's true. Here today, gone tomorrow. Anyway, that's pretty much ends the positive quote of the week. Welcome to the conclusion of the Italian Gamer Joe podcast. I want to thank the community out there for listening to my show and for giving me the opportunity to talk about all the things I love about video games. So thank you all for listening to my show and for supporting it. I also want to thank all the community members out there in the Italian Gamer Joe Discord community who make it the community that it is. We're very inclusive. We're a very positive community. And for those of you that are in the community, thank you very much for being here. Please be sure to share it with your friends as well. I also want to thank our moderator, Lynn, for helping so much as well. She's been great. I want to thank everybody that comes in and watches my Twitch streams. Thank you so much for watching my Twitch streams. I'm very new at streaming and having a blast with it, with getting the opportunity to be able to create a community that way. Every day we grow a little bit more Twitch viewers. So that's great. Currently I'm streaming Sea of Thieves, but I'm definitely going to be streaming other games as well, like Final Fantasy IX, hopefully some other adventure games, maybe even some more Switch games. So thank you all for following my Twitch stream and helping me grow that community as well. I also want to thank you. I'm on TikTok now at Italian Gamer Joe on TikTok. And what I've been doing is taking my funny moments from my streams, and I've been compiling them into funny little TikTok videos. So you're welcome to follow me on TikTok and check out my content there as well. And I believe that's all of it for now. As far as any updates to my vacation Pixel Paradise, I want to thank Daphne for her help with the artwork, and I want to thank Laz, my musician, for all his music. I'm working on some more programming and system bugs and system fixes with it, but it's making progress very slowly. What else? What other housekeeping do I have going on? As far as the Italian Gamer Joe goes, so once again, I just want to thank you all for the community that it is, and I want to thank you all for just supporting it and being here. And if any of you in the community have anything you'd like to talk about on the Discord, or you want to vent, we're all here for you. We're also a very supportive community. We don't just talk about video games. We also talk about like TV shows, memes, books. There There's so many, if we talk about food, like there's just so many awesome things we talk about. And if you are a listener of the show, you're more than welcome to join the Italian Gamer Joe Discord channel. It's linked somewhere on my show on the Anchor page. If you go to anchor.fm, look up Italian Gamer Joe, you can find it there. You can also find Italian Gamer Joe's Discord on Facebook. There's a link to it somewhere there as well. You can also just follow our social media feeds as well. So there's that too. But yeah, once again, thank you all so very much for being here, for supporting the Discord, for supporting the Italian Gamer Joe community. It's such a great honor to be able to have this community growing and to just have everyone be there for each other. I'm very, very excited to continue growing this community. And, you know, ever since a very stressful time in my life, Italian Gamer Joe has been like my escape to a community that's very open and loving. And it's just so great to have that community. So thank you all very much for being a part of this community. And if for those of you that are new listeners, feel free to join it as well. We're more than welcome to have you, more than happy to have you. Next week, we'll have another episode of the Italian Gamer Joe podcast. So I'm really excited to have another like live episode there. And for those of you that are listening, if you would like to follow my content, you know where to find me. If you'd like to guest star on the show, please let me know as well. Also, Anchor does let you send voice messages. So if there's a time where you'd like to send me a voice message, I can play it on the show. Or if you have any feedback, just let me know either through Anchor or through Discord or wherever you can find Italian Gamer Joe. Give me some feedback. Thank you to everybody who answered my question of the week, both on the Discord channel and on Facebook as well. So thank you very much for answering those questions. If you'd like to have your voice heard on my next video game question of the week, make sure to follow my Discord channel and the Facebook as well, where I'll be posting those questions. But yeah, thank you all so much for this community and for helping it grow and believing in me and believing in the community. This is such a great experience. It's such a great opportunity for me. And I really am excited to be here for that. And there's another podcast out there. I'm not trying to advertise it, but there's another podcast out there called DLC. And there's one thing that one of the guys on the show says, and he says, think about what you're putting out into the world, make it a better place. And it's such a great quote. And I can't help but agree with him. Like, I definitely recommend that anybody listening also checks out DLC, because it's a great podcast, but gaming podcast. But anyway, I just want to say as well, you know, just to piggyback off those words. Being a good person, being a good human being, embracing the power of positivity, of love, of forgiveness, of communication, making the world a better place through just being a good person and being a better person is such a powerful, impactful thing. And that's all we can really do. And I really hope that all of you listening out there can continue as well, just being, you know, just embracing love, embracing forgiveness, embracing doing good deeds, and embracing empathy, helping others, and just making the world a better place. So I hope that all of you have a great evening, and whatever time it is that you're all listening to this, I hope that you have a good day. And until next time, this is the Italian Gamer Joe signing off.
Lasciatemi cantare con la chitarra in mano. Lasciatemi cantare, sono un italiano. Buongiorno Italia, gli spaghetti al dente e un partigiano come presidente, con l'autoradio sempre nella mano destra, un canarino sopra la finestra. Buongiorno Italia con i tuoi artisti, con troppa America sui manifesti, con le canzoni, con amore, con il cuore, con più donne sempre meno suore. Buongiorno Italia, buongiorno Maria, con gli occhi pieni di malinconia. Buongiorno Dio, sai che ci sono anch'io. Lasciatemi cantare con la chitarra in mano, lasciatemi cantare una canzone piano piano. Lasciatemi cantare perché ne sono fiero, sono un italiano. non si spaventa, con la crema da barba la menta, con un vestito gessato sul blu e l'amo viola la domenica in TV. Buongiorno Italia col caffè ristretto, le calze nuove nel primo cassetto, con la bandiera in tintoria, una 600 giù di carrozzeria. Buongiorno Italia, buongiorno Maria, con gli occhi pieni di malinconia. Buongiorno Dio, lo sai che ci sono anch'io. Lasciatemi cantare con la chitarra in mano, lasciatemi cantare una canzone piano piano. Lasciatemi cantare perché ne sono fiero, sono un italiano vero. Sono fiero, sono un italiano, un italiano vero.